But let's take a look overseas for just a moment at the nearly 50,000 troops, U.S. troops, that are still in Iraq. By the end of the year, all of them are supposed to be out of Iraq. The State Department, as it prepares for those troop withdrawals, has announced it intends to hire more than 5,000 private security contractors who will protect military hardware and the diplomats who remain in the country. The Wall Street Journal's Nathan Hodge joins us now. What do we know about these private security contractors? Are they American companies?
The companies that the State Department is hiring are under a contract called Worldwide Protective Services. And, yeah, the bigger recipients of those are U.S. entities. But those that they hire, yeah, typically are going to have security clearances in order to bid just on the contract.
You know, from what we've heard about the behavior of some private security contractors and other contractors in Iraq and in Afghanistan as well, there is some concern over using this large a number and yet more private contractors as opposed to troops.
Well, the State Department is in sort of a bind because Iraq continues to be a dangerous place. On Monday, five U.S. troops were killed in an attack in Baghdad, and the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad is still the target of occasional rocket attacks. It's still a difficult place to move around. And without U.S. troops, basically, to provide the support, to provide the quick reaction forces in the event of an emergency, to even provide medical evacuation, they're going to have to rely on private contractors to do the job. Obviously, this has been a really big point of friction between Washington and Baghdad. There was the famous Nisour Square incident a few years back in which contractors from a company formerly known as Blackwater killed a number of civilians at a traffic roundabout and caused an enormous degree of political turmoil.
We're speaking with Nathan Hodge of the Wall Street Journal. He's talking about the State Department's announcement that it'll hire more than 5,000 private security contractors to work in Iraq once the troops have left. Nathan, is this how we always solve our problems with the security of diplomats and military hardware in any country of the world?
First of all, Iraq and Afghanistan have been the exception. They're extremely high-threat environments, and there's more than one way that you can solve these problems. You can solve them by, number one, not being there. The United States has poured billions of dollars into building and reinforcing its embassies over the past decades after the bombings of U.S. embassies in Africa, and has spent very heavily on what they call setback, basically building embassies that are in less vulnerable locations or aren't so close to the road because they are targets in some parts of the world. But no, you don't necessarily need to have private security personnel. The State Department has a force called the Diplomatic Security Service, but it's rather small. It's only about 1,800, as I understand. And this force alone that they're hiring for Iraq is going to be significantly larger than the entire force of Diplomatic Security Service personnel that they have available to them worldwide.
And there's also a question over what exactly would be the security forces be able to do in response to an attack if a diplomat was attacked, if there was a rocket attack or a violent attack on an embassy somewhere. What are the security forces allowed to do? How are they allowed to respond to that?
Well, here's an interesting distinction. For instance, it was discussed yesterday in testimony in Washington that the military right now operates these sense and warn systems that basically can detect and warn against an incoming rocket or mortar attack. But what contractors and the State Department won't be able to do is what the military calls counter battery fire. They're not going to detect the origin of that attack and start firing, basically returning fire with artillery.
Well, not now, but, I mean, ultimately you could subcontract an entire invasion based on this story.
Right, and the bigger concern for everyone who's observing this is whether or not it blurs the line and whether it is crossing the line into what in Washington's referred to as inherently governmental work by contractors.
So, I mean, the Iraqi government has expressed concern. Have they expressed objections? Do they have any control whatsoever over whether or not the United States uses thousands of private security contractors?
Well, that's an interesting point. After the Nisour Square incident, previously it was under the Coalition Provisional Authority beginning in 2003, all the way to this U.S.-Iraqi security deal, there was essentially legal immunity for contractors. After Nisour Square, the Iraqi government moved to lift that legal immunity, so they could be potentially subject to Iraqi law.
Nathan Hodge, Wall Street Journal reporter, author of Armed Humanitarians, The Rise of the Nation Builders. He's talking about a decision by the State Department. They've announced they will hire more than 5,000 private security contractors to protect diplomats and others after U.S. troops leave Iraq. Nathan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.